Blog Talk Radio.
And we do welcome you back to Envelope Liquors Show, where we explore the exquisite flavor possibilities of the glue that is on the envelopes of today's cards and letters and business envelopes, brown manila envelopes, and various other envelopes. It's a vast array of glue flavors that's just absolutely amazing. I remember my first big dual mailer, bubble mailer, and it had bubble in it, and I was shipping a CD, and I went to lick the glue right on the inside of that envelope, and it was just absolutely stunningly tasted very similar to the 1990 white envelopes that you got when you were trying to ship business paper. But this one was, it had more exquisite of a flavor on the glue itself. It was amazing. It stayed on the tongue surface longer than any other envelope glue I've ever tasted. It really was amazing. And I recommend you right now, all envelope liquors out there, to go to your local office store or Soho office and any other place that you can get to, and grab yourself one of those bubble mailers, and they have ones with the pull off with the self stick. You don't want that. You want the one that you're going to have to lick, and you're going to find a flavor reminiscent of that white corporate envelopes that we all know and love. It's very fantastic. So if you have your own favorite flavor of the envelope, we'd like you to just go ahead and call in, and let's talk about it, because I can tell you, you know, I've had some mind-blowing envelope licking experiences, and it has been amazing. Wait a minute. This doesn't seem like the right show. Let's do something else.
But they don't fall down. Pass it on.
This space is for rent. How much are you willing to pay?
Cool, Mr. Oliver Goat Cheese.
My face, I pick my
mad, insane world.
Easy to bitch, easy to whine, easy to moan, easy to cry, easy to feel like there ain't nothing in your life. Harder to work, harder to strive, harder to be glad to be alive. But it's really worth it if you give it a try.
Takes one to know one.
Jack rules.
Here is your host, Jack Hatfield.
I know where you are, but you might not know where you are. So give me 1 minute. Hang on. I lost something. Very crazy. Dum, 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 dum. Where to go? Where to go? Well, well, well. Nope. Nope, 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 nope. That wasn't it either. Well, goodness, that, let me go ahead and tell you where you are, because you might think you're lost. We had to stop that last program because we took over, and by taking over, we took over called the Jack Hatfield Show. That's right. That's what you're listening to right now. And, we took over this spot from, a show that had been on over a year, and, we're letting it roll as much as we can. And I lost that whole thing. So, we're just not going to worry about that topic anymore. No, no way. Yes way. Okay. Ah, that's right. You are here. This is the Jack Hatfield Show, where we know that we have to get a better world, a better nation, and a better life. And that's how it starts with the world, goes down to nation, goes down to family, then goes down to you. And what we're finding out is an awful lot of stupid yous out there. Not, of course, the ones listening to this show, but the ones that do listen to this show could point out some people that this show talks about. Today we're going to find out there's some potential Neanderthal in your bloodline there. That's right. Then wedding gone horribly wrong, going a little crazy. Then we're going to talk about Alzheimer's disease. What's going on with that and why is it so very, very vast? And then a big mix-up at a hospital, something that I would be very angry about. And then how can you make marriage even more satisfying? We'll talk about that when we get to it. A grandmother losing custody, not good thing. We're going to talk about a judge's appalling decision. Then we're going to talk about a father doing the right thing and gets punished for it. Not good at all. Not good at all. But first, as we always do, we talk about wonderful things here on the Jack Hatfield Show, and today we're coming. I found what's known as really wonderful ideas, and I'm doing it on the eve of, you know, our government doing lots of fabulous stuff. So I've come up with lots of lists of all these incredible ideas that just were revered as just wonders of the world and just amazing, so happy. The world was so happy it was created. It's just amazing. And one of them, ladies and gentlemen, you may have even bought one. The Studebaker Dictator. That's right. The Studebaker Dictator was not exactly the heartbeat of America when it was introduced in 1934. According to one auto industry analyst, after Hitler and Mussolini came to power, a name like dictator was downright un-American. Yet, incredibly, the nation's number five automaker, that's right, the Studebaker, the number five automaker in the world at the time, stuck with that name, dictator, for 3 years. That is in one of the great ideas we're going to talk about. Stuff like that all today. Right here on the Jack Hatfield Show. You know why you come here? Because it's just insane. And we're going to do it. We're going to find some more crazy stuff to talk about. Hang with us. We'll be right back. Pharmaceutical industry and all of that good stuff is trying to do really good for you, and that's why the Nabi Biopharmaceuticals, based in Rockville, Maryland, they said on Monday, that's right, that it's experimental Nikvax did not meet its main goal in a late-stage test. That's right. Nabi Biopharmaceuticals said Nikvax did not meet its main goal. Let's go into Nikvax. It was a vaccine for nicotine addiction. That's right, the anti-smoking vaccine. Problem was, people that were given this vaccine, only 11% of patients managed to quit smoking. So Nikvax is evaluating the data and waiting for results from a second late-stage study, and they are clearly surprised and deeply disappointed with the results of Nikvax Phase 3 trial. We hope that our analysts' analysis over the next little while will shed light on the reasons for such surprising results. So, Natty Pharmaceuticals was trading at $3.93, blew all the way down to $1.69 after their Stage 3 Nikvax wasn't working. It was intended, now let me tell you this. This year-long study so far involved 1,000 patients. They were considered to have quit if they didn't smoke a cigarette in 16 weeks. All right, quitting was self-reported and also measured biologically. Now, Nikvax was intended to train the immune system to make antibodies that will attach themselves to nicotine. And that is to keep the nicotine... Now, let me repeat that. I don't think you understand what this thing did. Nikvax trained the immune system to make antibodies, in other words, made stuff, cells inside you that will attach themselves to nicotine when it enters your body. And the goal was that the nicotine molecules can never reach the brain, so people can quit smoking and not start again. So basically, you don't get the nicotine high in the brain. The study was part of a last of three stages of clinical trials. So this was the last study of this Nikvax. and then it would went in front of the FDA, ladies and gentlemen. So this was a big, big thing. And NABI Pharmaceuticals could have gotten more than $500 million in an agreement with GlaxoSmithKline if they could have gotten this drug approved. However, the 11% tumble was not good. Now, just so you know, this company got $7.9 million in federal stimulus money from the National Institute on Drug Abuse in 2009 to continue developing Nicvax. Okay? In fact, the World Vaccine Congress, that's right, there is a World Vaccination Congress, actually presented NABI with its Best Therapeutic Vaccine Award for Nicvax. Everything was going along smoothly, and then suddenly find out it's kind of not working. And remember, they didn't say they're going to quit. They're just going to go back and analyze why the data did not come up the way they wanted. Oh, no. That's right. Not good stuff. So what do we do? What do we do with the drugs we were going to use? Quit smoking. And they were talking the vaccine. That's oddly strange. Vaccines were designed for us not to be able to get whatever the vaccine was for. Right? Well, here's a tough one. Newlywed, right? Between her marriage vows and the reception, Tammy Lee Hinton was like any blushing bride. She was just happy as she could be. On her wedding day, she was sitting at the City of Zion Ministries Church. Okay? Getting ready to have her big day. Her big day. And wouldn't you know it, Blackman Leone Township police officers came and messed up her marriage and arrested her in her wedding dress, booked her, and took her mugshots in her wedding dress and veil. So her beautiful day suddenly goes very, very, very bad as she gets arrested on a felony identity theft warrant. So the life she was leading and going to get married with turns out to be not true. Goodness. That's not good. Speaking of crazy wives,
I got a crazy wife. I got a crazy wife. I got a crazy wife.
Speaking of crazy wives. Here's one, a story about a guy just simply wanted to find happiness. Okay? He simply wanted to find love. And he spent his entire life working with charities. And he'd been corresponding with a Jamaican woman through the internet. And just found that they had a lot in common. And really, really felt that he reached out. And he took regular holidays in Jamaica, and he met his blushing love, Patrice, 2 years ago. A friend set them up on a blind date, but despite the third... Well, hello. Due to a technical glitch of some sort, we don't even know when that happened. We don't even know what you've heard. We don't even know what you missed. We don't even know what we've missed. So, let's recap. We talked about what did we talk about first? I'm pretty sure we got that in. I think I was talking about the Jamaican love of Mr. Gannon. He spent a lot of money getting his Jamaican bride all the way to England. There's the gist of that whole story. I have no idea how long the glitch was. None. I have no idea where we are in this show. So probably one of the best things we can do right now is take a small second and see if I can make stuff up. We'll be right back. Well, more incredible technical difficulties. I'm telling you what. What a fun show we've had. What a fun show we've had so far. 30 minutes is gone. I've only talked about two things. We got Adele Amani coming up. Maybe she can add some good stuff finally to this show. Wow. Let's talk about what happened in Vancouver, Washington over the weekend. 36-year-old Vancouver woman due in court 9 a.m. Monday after it was found out that she approached another woman that was eating, just casually eating on her taco at a Taco Bell restaurant. She handed the woman her 3-day-old son and said $500. That's right. She was attempted to sell her 3-day-old son for $500. So she was arrested. Obviously. What was found out after she was arrested? She was arrested on other outstanding warrants. So this isn't her first crime. Her name is Heidi Knowles or Heidi Gassaway. She actually has two names that she could go by, two aliases. And she was charged with attempted child selling / child buying. She is now in jail. And she had been staying in the motel and has no permanent real address. She did appear under the influence at the time of her arrest. She, however, said that she was very clean and has not done any methamphetamines for over a year. Now, we're going to keep track of this mother and see if they give her her child back. Don't you think that she should go through some sort of tests before she can get her child back? Now, some of you I know have heard that Taco Bell was being looked upon as possibly not selling 100% beef in their tacos and burritos. And I want to make this clear that she approached not an employee of Taco Bell. We are not uncovering a new source of food by this investigation. I want to make this clear. She approached a customer and attempted to sell her baby for $500. She was not simply providing Taco Bell with a new form of meat. I want to make that clear. It's very vital that we make that, because they have spent a lot of money on big ads. Big ads. So, the Taco Bell in this news brief was not, I repeat, was not purchasing the baby as a substitute. Laugh myself. That was kind of hilarious. Okay. Woo. Now, speaking of babies, But down in Australia, some people really messed up. At the St. John of God Hospital. It's not St. God of John. It's St. John of God Hospital in Geelong, Australia. Okay? They neglected to check and verify. In other words, human error. Neglected to check and verify the bracelets and the babies and their names. And they were given to the wrong mothers in the special care nursery. Now, the mothers then breastfed their babies. Let me throw this scenario at you a different way. You're sitting there as a new mother, and someone brings you a baby, and you proceed to breastfeed it. Sounds like you're caring, right? Well, let me throw it one other way. You're a brand new mother, and you find out your baby just drank another lady's milk. Do you know this lady? Do you know what this lady has done in her life? Both mothers had already breastfed their children when the mistake was noticed, and the only reason it was noticed when a family member raised concerns about the babies. They're finding out that the tots could have been switched in their little baby beds prior to being handed to the wrong mothers at 6:30 a.m. The women and the babies are now being fully tested. Wouldn't you want to know everything all of a sudden about that lady? Excuse me, I need to know where you've been the last 15 years, what you do, who you are. Your breast milk is in my child. Wow. Oh, the hospital apologizes immensely, by the way. But, of course, the experts had to come out and say that this kind of a mix-up can be difficult to overcome for a mother and can have a lasting psychological impact on them, which can also affect the baby. Do you know why an expert just claimed that? He would like to be an expert witness in the lawsuit that's about to occur in this hospital. That's exactly why that expert suddenly touted up. I myself wouldn't know what to do. I'd be like, ah, wow, I have to go meet these people. And maybe, just maybe, there's nothing wrong with any of the mothers, nothing wrong with any of the babies. There is no ill effects at all. And the moms are now new best friends for the rest of their life. Because they can call up, like on the 21st birthday, they can call and go, hey, I kept you alive for 8 hours before your mama did. Right? Happy birthday. Happy birthday. I took care of you. Oh, goodness. Speaking of more hospital stuff, actually, this has nothing to do with the hospital. This is just kind of a crazy. A 32-year-old father, all right? David was on their way home with his wife, Genevieve. David and Genevieve just on the way home in their car. But suddenly, the young pregnant bride began to feel paralyzing pain, contractions, and blood began to soak the car. Panicked by warnings the natural labor could put their baby at risk, they rushed to the hospital to try to make sure that their child was going to be fine. Their actions were almost thwarted because they were stopped by the police twice. David, the father, of course, was doing what he needed to do. He got speeds on as high as 106 miles an hour on lightly trafficked roads, hoping to get his wife to the delivery room at the hospital. They were stopped by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, After the 15-minute stop, he came back with a $1,040 speeding ticket. The cop was then saying, if you go on, I don't want to see you guys speeding. The mother went on to say, I was half crying, saying, we don't have time for a lecture. I'm trying to save my wife and baby's life. 30 minutes later, the couple was stopped again. Now, this hospital is obviously very far away. Now, here's the flaw in this situation. They were stopped again by another Carberry cop, okay? When they found out that that Carberry cop was alerted that the Webbers may be speeding his way. In other words, because the first cop knew they were in a traumatic situation and off to race to the hospital, he radioed another county's cop, another city's cop, and said, hey, they may be speeding your way. This officer said, you can't drive anymore, and he called an ambulance and forced him to sit around for that ambulance to show up for 15 minutes. Now, the good news in all this, Annabella was born by emergency C-section later on that evening. Okay? Now, I've got two things to say to this before I go into what else David has had to go to. What David did after he got this ticket was he went and said, hey, I was trying to save my child and my wife's life. What are you talking about? You know, give me a speeding ticket. I'd like to get this thrown out. Well, the judge lowered it to $416. The problem was they weren't done. They called him back in. And then they said he was going to be suspended for 5 months. He must take a safe driving course. And the ticket then was raised to $1,040. So not only are the cops and judges not listening to why this person was having the speed, they're punishing him a little further. In fact, the cop punished him just on that same day, knowing where he was going. I've got two thoughts on this I want to go into. One, the cop behind you with the sirens blaring and your wife next to you in the car bleeding and having paralyzing, painful contractions, and you just want to get to a hospital. Do you pull over? You know what I would have been? I'd have been that guy in the high-speed chase on TV. We are looking at the car flying down the highway at speeds of about 106 miles an hour. We don't know what's going on, but every now and then the father does throw out his arm at everyone. It does appear he's pulling into a hospital. Yes, it is a hospital. Oh, he's pulling. As the cops pull around him, he has ignored their pleas for him to freeze and has then kidnapped a lady. Yes, it looks like he has kidnapped a lady and is yanking her into the hospital. So apparently we're going to have a hostage situation and a standoff. I would have got shot. I would have gotten shot if a cop tried to pull me over, trying to save painful, paralyzing contractions and bleeding. Since it appears that we have an awful lot of glitches today, we're going to go ahead and let Adele talk for a minute. Even if I've got glitch after glitch, you at least is going to hear a sane voice. We don't know what's happening right now. We'll find out in 2 seconds. But right now, Adele Amani's Magnificent and Magical Minute.
My name is Adele Amani, and I would like to welcome you to Adele's Magic Minute. On this part of the show, I would like to be able to bring you answers to questions that are being answered about attracting love, wealth, happiness, success into your life. When you allow yourself to flow with the universe, the energy being you are, petty differences, stressful confrontations will never happen again. Understand it's your decision who you desire around you and their values. Those not of your values, when given no more thought, will drift from your experience. You attract to you what you think on, give your attention to, and focus upon. And you realize this, you will be able to see this from your emotions, because it's your emotions that are your indicator to where you are and where you want to be. If you're in a situation or you have a confrontation with somebody and this doesn't feel good, this makes you feel bad, then this is telling you that you are moving yourself into a lower vibration. You are disconnecting yourself from your high energy where you need to be. So these situations where you feel bad are ones that you want to move away from. And it's the same with when you want to attract into your life. You want to attract things, situations, experiences, and people that make you feel good. You have to do this by actually resonating out the same vibration. So therefore, you have to be in that emotional state first and foremost to attract back. Now, I call this your emotional guidance system because it's very, very powerful. And when you start to understand your feelings, you will know when any situation, any experience, any communication with another person is right for you, because it will feel right or it will feel wrong. And you must realize that this isn't just feelings, you know, just something going on in your stomach. This is your energy talking to you. This is your energy communicating energetically with you, because you are picking up on the energy of the situation, the person, the experience. And if that energy is on a lower vibration to you, then it will not match where you should be, and it will make you feel bad. So once you get to know how to read your emotions, you will be in a much, much better place to be able to know which situations are right for you. And it is also down to, once you find your situations and the ones that don't feel good to you, is taking your focus off these. Whether it be something that a person is saying, whether it be a certain experience, whether it be that you've been asked to go and do something and it doesn't feel right to you, all you have to do is to take your focus away from these energies. Take your focus off the person. Take your focus off the experience. And what happens is, because they're on a lower vibration to you, the universe will not attract them into your experience. It will only attract where you are resonating from. So if people are around you and they're on a lower vibration, when you take your attention off them, the universe will move them out of your experience. And I can say this with absolute fact, because I've worked with so many clients who have needed to move themselves away from others, and every single time it happens. So there need never ever be conflict in your life again. When you learn to live from your emotions, you learn to energetically communicate.
All right. At least we have a good five magical, magnificent minutes of this show. This has been a glitch, massively glitch-filled show. Let's talk about another great idea, since it was obviously a good idea to go ahead and run this show today. Bic perfume was a great idea. You remember that one? No, probably not. It was a snazzy $5 perfume that looked like the cigarette lighter famously styled in the Bic way. Why wasn't it a hit with women? Does anyone know? No? According to one industry expert, it looked like a cigarette lighter. Bic lost $11 million on this project, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Here's another product, great idea that didn't really make it. It was Chili Bang Bang juice. That's right. Chili Bang Bang juice. Now, what better way to get your kids to drink healthy, wonderful juice than to place the juice in a fun bottle? Right? It obviously is. Fun bottles make kids want to drink their juice. It's a known fact. Well, this fun bottle happened to be in the shape of a pistol. And kids drank the juice by putting the barrel of the pistol in their mouth and squeezing the trigger. Outraged parents and complaints from all officials in at least two states got it yanked from the shelves. That's weird. You would think that, you know, the government being on their health kick that they are right now would be going, hey, look, the children drinking their juice. And it looks like they're slowly, you know, shooting their brains out. Goodness. Oh, wow. Kids, what do you think about that? Really?
Yay!
Yes, it's close. Now, what was I talking about? Okay, here we go. Judge. Here's a judge's appalling decision. Another one. A grandmother lost custody of a girl 3 years old to her sex offender father. Okay? Now, this judge has provoked fury by handing custody of a 3-year-old girl to a registered sex offender. That ruling in Jacksonville, Florida means little Miranda Wilkerson's late mother's husband, Donald Coleman. Okay? So, mom of Miranda has passed. Donald is about to gain custody of her from Rita, the maternal grandmother. Okay? Rita lives in Florida. Mr. Donald lives in Georgia. Okay? Mr. Coleman became a sex offender after impregnating Miranda's mother with another baby. Okay? And Miranda's mom died 1 month after her birth in a car crash. Miss Coleman was 14 when she was first made pregnant. Donald Coleman was 38. Since you probably had a lot of silence while that we were talking about the grandmother losing custody, we are hitting an unprecedented number of glitches, an unprecedented number of issues that simply are taking me and my voice off the air for an unknown amount of time. We apologize that this show has been a, suck. But we will attempt to travel on. I believe we're going to have to do a lot of work on a couple parts. It looks like we're getting some physical equipment problems. And I don't know if we should attempt to continue, because we won't know if we are going to go down again. But I'm going to bring this up before we leave, before we quit. Teenagers, they do a lot of crazy stuff, right? A lot of crazy stuff. How many teenagers have thrown, you know, their parents are out of town, they throw a little party. You know, they have some people over. How many kids get caught a little bit with, you know, having a little party or having some friends over that their parents didn't know they were going to have? Well, Tyler Hadley of Florida, you know, decided just to eliminate the possibility of him getting caught having a party at his house, because he put, "Hey, come, I'm having a party at my house," on Facebook to all his friends, and they were coming over. But then suddenly his parents said, "No, we're not letting you have a party." So Tyler really, really, really wanted to have this party. So what he did was he put a hammer into his parents' head. He killed them. He killed his parents, beating his mom and dad with a hammer. All right, left them in their room after killing them, and then went on to throw his party. He's 17 years old, ladies and gentlemen. Their bodies were still in the bedroom when the party was on. Okay? He hid the hammer in their bedroom. It was a big 22-inch framing hammer. And then he beat them to death, and then he used books and paper and towels to cover their bodies after he sent out that Facebook invitation to come to my party. And the bodies weren't found until the next morning. You know how when you have a big party, you know, the party went on from about 9 to 3 a.m. The police actually arrived around 4:20. There were beer cans strewn all over the yard. He told the police his parents were out of town. Police then obviously doing their thing, going around trying to find how many underage drinkers there are in the house, went into the master bedroom where the door had been locked, and found Mr. and Mrs. Hadley. One of the attendees said that he killed his parents because he heard that they weren't going to let him throw this party. Now, before you say anything, this teen had already dropped out of school, and the family was actually being sued for $15,000 after this 17-year-old kid hit and injured a child while driving a car registered to his father in June 2010. He has also had other run-ins with the police. Tyler also does have an older brother who recently moved out of the house. His mother was a 24 years elementary school teacher. His father worked at the Florida Power and Light Company. But apparently they were stuck in the muds and would not let him have his partay. So he decided to just say, "Hi, here's a hammer. I'm putting the hammer down." What is going on in the mind of a teenager that does not revere their parents enough to have a one evening of fun? What is happening in a teenager's world? Well, first of all, this teenager obviously had some issues. Be dropping out of high school and already hit a child. My guess is he was very, very under the watch and the watchful eye of his mom and dad, probably for his own good. He couldn't handle it. Said he wanted to invite some friends over. They, of course, said no, the smart thing to do. The problem is they get bludgeoned to death because they were trying to be good parents. Now, is it possible that there's a point when there's nothing parents can do? Do you think there's a moment in some children's lives where the parent simply has to say, there's nothing more I can do for you? These parents obviously never, ever, ever probably had this in their mind that my kid would kill me. Yes, he probably yells. Yes, he probably says he hates me. But it's probably not in their mind that he would pick up a hammer . You just have to wonder what's going on. What is going on? All right, we're still connected. We're still running. Still hear the sound of my voice, I do hope. So, we have entered the second hour of the Jack Hatfield Show. So what we should do is play the world's longest intro one more time. Right, return to Jack. We're going to try to have a fun.
It's a crazy, mad, insane world.
Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Pass it on.
This space is for rent. How much are you willing to pay?
Cool, Mr. Oliver Goat Cheese.
Wonderful juice by putting the barrel of a pistol in their mouth. Wonderful. How about Hoppin' Gator? That's right, Gatorade, the G series. Back in 1966, back in 1969, the inventor of that Gatorade said, okay, I sold my Gatorade, but I'm going to come up with another can't-miss product. That's right, Hoppin' Gator. Mixture of Gatorade and beer. They tried it out for a couple years, actually. Spent a lot of money. But they found out people really didn't want Gatorade in their beer. How about another multi-million dollar failure? Pepsi AM. That's right. Why not get your morning caffeine from cola instead of coffee? The world's first breakfast soft drink didn't get far. Pepsi found out most consumers didn't want a breakfast soft drink, and people who did still preferred to drink plain old regular Pepsi instead of Pepsi AM. Oh my. Good ideas. Of course, they all are. Here is another example of a kid gone a little awry and the parent trying to do the right thing with a twist. You're sitting at home, you're a parent, you're sitting at home, and you get a call at 11 o'clock at night. Miss Gardner, this is the county jail. And we're calling to inform you that we have your daughter, Alicia, in jail for drunk driving. She was pulled over because she was swerving and crossing the center line, and her blood alcohol level was twice the legal limit. The problem is, Ms. Gardner, she's going to have to stay overnight in jail because of this arrest. However, there was a dog in the car, and we need someone to come get her dog. Would that be possible, Ms. Gardner? And so the mom receives the chilling phone call that you never want to receive, and then has to, of course, stop what she's doing and go pick up her daughter's dog. It could happen any parent, anytime, anywhere. Well, Miss Gardner, being the proper mom, got in her car and going to do her dutifully mother duties. Dutifully mother duties. Going to dutifully fulfill her motherhood duties. As soon as she got to jail, an officer then said, "Ma'am, how come you also smell of the fire water we call alcohol?" And she said, "I don't know what you're talking about." And they said, "Ma'am, wait, you kind of stank, so we're going to have to give you a test here, if you don't mind." Well, they gave her a test, and it revealed that her drive to the police station was also twice the legal limit of fire water impairment. And she was then arrested for drunk driving and booked. Exactly 1 hour apart from her daughter. So, here's my question to you, ladies and gentlemen. Does no one care about this dog? Did anyone else come and pick up this dog that wasn't drunk? This poor pooch probably had to sit around this cold jail at least for an hour before drunk mom showed up, pick up drunk daughter's dog. Dog's just going, she was swerving all over the road. I just want to go home. I don't know what's happening. No one cares about the dog is what I'm trying to tell you. It's a sad, sad story. Here's a great father. Healthcare, as everyone knows, is becoming very expensive, right? I mean, we've got this whole big new thing that's not going to be expensive coming up, right? Yes. Well, one father said, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to learn how to be a doctor so that we don't have to worry about this kind of stuff. We don't have to worry about healthcare costs because I'll take care of it. In fact, so what he did, I mean, he just did it one day. He drove to, he didn't live with his son now, ladies and gentlemen. He drove to the house where mom and son lived, and his 15-year-old son was scheduled to soon have his broken arm cast removed, ladies and gentlemen. Well, this is where the frugal dad then came into play. He came over with a 10-inch circular saw and said, "There's no reason for us to go to the hospital. I'll just take the cast off myself." The cast cutting episode was going very well, I think, until he cut the tip of his right thumb off of his son, and then he cut into his son's index finger and then sliced deeply into 3 inches of skin above the boy's index finger and thumb. And my guess is we have no idea how much we missed, how much you missed, or what's going on. We are hitting too many technical glitches today, ladies and gentlemen. What we're going to do is try to fix this piece of equipment and come back again this very same time. If you're listening to this as a recording, we're going to go ahead and stop to find out what component is crashing us and taking out our audio signal. And we are really, really, really sorry for this. Being an IT guy myself, I have some ideas, but I do believe that I cannot fix them while we talk, and then it's just going to go on and do this over and over. For those of you who tried to stay on and listen to what happened, he is now being the father who tried to take off the son's cast is being charged with child abuse, aggravated child abuse charges. And he is incarcerated in jail at this time. If he gets that child abuse, that is a first-degree felony, and he could face 30 years in prison, a long time away from his 15-year-old son. Before we go, though, real quick, we're going to talk about what things you cannot eat. Because, of course, you know that there's people out there smarter than you that tell you you shouldn't be eating stuff. So here's their list of things you shouldn't be eating out there in Wonderland. They're telling you not to eat, okay? Cheesecake Factory, Denny's, and IHOP all have dishes that suck. There's a 1,500 calorie cheeseburger at the Cheesecake Factory. And then there's the Cold Stone Creamery's peanut butter and chocolate shake with a whopping 2,010 calories. Then there's the Denny's fried cheese melt. Four fried mozzarella cheese sticks covered in melted American cheese, then grilled. That sounds fantastic. How could that be wrong? Now remember, your government says you shouldn't be eating more than 2,000 calories in a day. So if by that stretch of the imagination, these items should be a problem. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we can't get on a roll here. We have actual physical, technical difficulties. And we're just going to call it because we believe it's just going to get uglier and uglier as this one component or set of components keeps breaking down on us. So this show is a bust. We apologize immensely. Next week, come back for an even better, greater, more in massive show because we're going to have to squeeze in what we didn't squeeze in here. And we're going to have a lot of fun doing it. May even have some surprises and guests. No telling. But please come back and see us. Apologize again. The Jack Hatfield Show's technical difficulty show has to come to an end.